This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth and a quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another time on Christ Life Classic. We thank God for another opportunity to talk again about this life called Christ in our Lord Jesus. I believe that we're blessed the last time. We had some time to think about, you know, those words and to align ourselves accordingly. And one of the things that when we listen, one good culture to do is to think about these things. Paul was saying that which you have seen, you've heard, he said, what do you do? He said, think on these things. He said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly. 1 Timothy 4:15, that thy prophecy may appear to all. So as a believer, it's important that any opportunity we have with either a spoken word, a word of God we read, we meditate on these words, we think about them, and then we can now begin to see profiting. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for how you've helped us again. We thank you for another opportunity to speak your words. We ask that you will help us. You will quicken us. You will strengthen us in the name of Jesus. You will give us hearing ears. You give us eyes to see. You will open our mind that we may receive that which you have prepared for us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for strength and breath. We honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The last time we met, one of the things we were trying to establish and which we said clearly was that the term Christ is not the surname of our Lord Jesus. We saw that it was what he was called. It was what he was made. Our Lord Jesus, we did say that Christ, you know, when we look at it in the concept of what it means, you know, it means the anointed, the called, the chosen, the Messiah, you know. And we see that out of all the prophecy, you know, and one thing about the Messiah, which we did say last time, was that someone who has been prophesied to be a savior, you know, and we looked at, you know, to establish the fact that Christ is what he was called to be. Matthew 16, we looked at Matthew 16 last time, just so that when Jesus was asking that who do men say we are, then who do you say? And he was asking men who have had proxy with him, men who have seen him lived before their eyes. And Apostle Peter, you know, said, thou art the Christ, not just any Christ. It was not just any anointed. It was not just any Messiah. He was the Christ and also the Son of the living God, you know. And we say something that there's a life that Christ became. There was a life that he was made, that as believers, we must live that life. Romans 1:16, we spoke about one of the things we saw the last time we were here is that there's no shame in the gospel, and that when it comes to the life and the various measure of what our Lord Jesus was, is custodied in gospel, you know, good news, and that Christ as a life has a gospel. He has a good news. He has a vehicle. You know, that gospel is like the unbundling to which that life will come to us. And, you know, it is power. One thing that, you know, that must be clear is that it is power. It is the power of God. It is the power of God. The gospel of Christ is the power of God. It's not weak. You know, it is a power that must come to every believer to take that believer somewhere. That the destination of every believer is salvation. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power of God to wear. That is, the marks, the elasticity of that power of God is salvation. So you see, the gospel of Christ, you know, the power of God unto, that is, it wants to stretch to the place where a soul can come to salvation. And that is actually the goal of every believer. Every believer must be taken on a journey to salvation, because one of the things that gospel will begin to unbundle, you begin to unbundle righteousness. He said, daring, what is revealed in that gospel? The righteousness of God is revealed from what? Faith to faith. From one faith to another faith to another faith. And we say that faith is not a faith, because if it's a revealed righteousness, therefore, is a faith that, you know, it means that faith is not for that which is visible. It means that faith is for that which is what? Invincible. And we did say that, you know, a man can live, you see, because when it comes to the gospel of Christ, it has nothing to do with a man. It has to do with the lordship of whom you have claimed that you belong to. You know, it has to be revealed, because unless a Lord reveals his desire, you will never know anything about that Lord. You know, you will never know. So when, you know, we say we are subject, we are his subject, you know, it means that we are under his lordship. He said, move from faith to faith. And we say faith is not that which is seen. Faith is not only, you know, faith is actually, and you know, he said it is what? Faith is what? A substance of things. It means that faith from faith does not bring evidence of that which we see. Amen. You know, he said, and it is now written. He said, the just shall live by what? Faith. And that was a thought we did live, that the just shall live by faith. So the essence of the gospel of Christ is living. The essence is that those that who have claimed to be justified, you know, those who have claimed to be justified, you know, at new birth, there was a justification that happened to our spirit. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the what? Glory of what? God. Romans 3:23. He said, being justified freely by grace through the redemption. Redemption, that is the buyback, the purchase that is in Christ, what? Jesus. Hallelujah. So in the anointed Jesus, the Messiah Jesus. So there's a justification that happened to us. So anyone that claims to have come to this justification at new birth ought to live. Ought to live. Is he living in this planet Earth? No. If he's living in this planet, then you don't need justification. Because even ants, rats, everything lives in this planet Earth. All manners of things. But say the justified ones shall live by what? Faith. And that faith, what will make to live is righteousness. If there's no unveiling of righteousness, there's no living. So it means that the prescribed life that a justified one, that is a believer, has been called to live, is a life that is prescribed by revealed righteousness. There's a life in Christ. There's a life in Christ that a lot of us believers, we are not aware of, and we are not mindful of, and we are not intentional about living. There was what Christ was, what he custodied. So it means that if I say I'm a believer, there's a way I ought to live. There's a life that I ought to live. Let's start from 2 Timothy. The epistle, you know, that epistle of Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:1. He says, but an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life. According to where?
The promise of life.
Which is in Christ Jesus. God's people, there is a life that is still a promise. That you and I are born again does not mean automatically we can just begin to live that life. Because you saw that Romans, he said it must be revealed. Until it is revealed, it is still a promise. You see that life, they say the promise of life. That means there's a life that which is in who? Christ Jesus. You know, now they are putting Christ as first. What they are exalting here is that what he was, not his name, Jesus. What he was made as. He said there's a promise of life. That God's people, so it means that on this earth, we have a lot of believers that are promissory believers. They are just believers, But the promise of a life, they've not been able to live it. So believers are born again, but they are living life on their terms and condition. It means that when I say I have become born again, as I continue my walk with the Lord, there's a promise of life that must be unveiled to me that I must live. John chapter 20, after the resurrection of Jesus, John 20, 31. When Jesus, you know, resurrected and Thomas saw him, and this is now the gospel of, this is the person that wrote it that was saying this. He said, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is who? The Christ. You know, that the Christ was Apostle Peter. I'm just, you know, when people want to bring, one of the beauty of the gospel is the way it aligns. Yeah. The sinking of everything. Yeah. Nothing broken, nothing confusing. Yeah. He said, that you might believe. So you see that, my brothers, why you see again that Christ is not a title of Jesus. Because you must believe that Jesus is the Christ. You must believe that he is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He custodes your life. The Son of God. And that believing, you might have what? Life through his name. So what believing must do to us must that it must open us to us a life. It must open us a life that we get through his what? Through his name. So there's a life. What is life? Is life breathing? You know, life is not even something you can define. In Hebrew, they'll say Zoe, the life of God. They'll say Ruach, the breath. You know, sometimes scripture will ascertain life to breath. But even if we should use our biological sense, if you want to define life, you look at the signs of life. The signs of life. In biology, we say Mr. Ninja D. Movement. M for movement. Respiration. That is, there's breath. That is, one thing that shows that you have life is that you are moving. You are journeying.
Yeah.
You are moving. You are journeying. You are not stationary. You are not static. Have you seen waters that are static? How smelly it is? Full of dead things? You can take in things, respiration. You can take in things. You can breathe in. You can take in life. You can take out things that you ought not to take in. You can eat nutrition. You can respond to stimuli. You know, response. These unbelievers, they don't know how to respond to anything.
Yeah.
Nothing moves them. Nothing shakes them. I'm just trying to say that you see all of these things. So, you know, one thing that shows that you are moving towards, like we said, movement. You can breathe. You can respire. You can take in, you can take out. You can breathe in life, breathe in the life of God. You take out the things that are not life. You know, you can eat, you can take meal, nutrition. You can eat. You can eat. There's nobody that has a child that will not be eating. I'm sorry, you have heard mother say, my child is not eating. My child is not eating. That is how some of us are as Christians. We are not taking on meal. You can reproduce. That which has been put in you, you can bring out. You can also take out debts. You can put away, put off. You understand what I'm saying? You can grow, you can develop. So I'm trying to say that there are signs of life that shows that a believer is living. You see, that life, we don't live it. We don't stumble on that life. We live it by faith. Because you see, that Romans 1 is one place that like has all the aspects.
Yeah.
The aspect of what the gospel does, where it's taking you to, who it is the gospel is for, what the gospel of Christ is supposed to, I'm talking of the gospel of Christ now, supposed to unveil to you, you know, and how it's supposed to move for you, faith to faith, and the end of it, the gospel of Christ, that you live. And not just live, you have what? Life abundantly. Jesus, when he was talking about, I go to the Father to prepare a place for you, and that I may be, when Thomas was saying, we don't know where you are going, Jesus was going to respond. Because, you know, we said the other time that Jesus, there are things Jesus could. So he said, I am, John 14, 6. He says, Jesus said unto him, I am, Jesus is defining himself. I am the way. I am truth. I am life. No man comment to the Father. No man comment to salvation. Because this is unto the Father, unto salvation, but by me. So our Lord Jesus was clearly saying that, you see, I am not just a label called Jesus. You know, I am not just a label called Jesus. I am, there is what I am. There is what is in my being. One of the things in my being is way. You wonder, why are they talking way? One of the things in my being is truth. One of the things in my being is life. And no man. It means that, you see, when you are coming to salvation, that unto salvation, unto the Father, these are the things you must partake of to come to me. So when we say Christ's life, the end of what is in Christ is that you may have life. And not have it. He said that you may have it what? Abundantly. So we can say that Jesus, everything about Jesus is a custodian of life in various measure. You know, there's a way we can shout. If our Lord Jesus, we see a dead man being raised to life. But Jesus can do much more than raise a dead man physically. Jesus can raise a dead man in his spirit. He can deal with death. When he says, I am life, it means that I am the antidote to death. He can deal with death in every measure, not just bodily. Spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
So the issue of living and life is an unveiling that we see in Christ. Let's look at Galatians 2:20 from 19. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto what?
God.
God's people, the issue of life and living is a big deal. It was to expunge out how many times scripture, especially the epistles, talks, refers to life, living, is a lot. So when it is like that, it's obvious that the issue of death and death reigns is a big deal for men. That we might live unto God. I am crucified. This is Apostle Paul to the Galatians. I am crucified with Christ. I am. What is crucifixion? It means that I have joined myself to Christ. I am in tune with Christ. You understand? With the anointed, the Messiah. I am, you know when I am with him, I am joined in crucifixion. He says, you know, nevertheless, I live. Because I said, there's a life that everybody wants to live, both born again or unborn again. But what should not be is that people who have claimed to be believers, that you will live a life that is not, a life that is not in tune to the life that is in Christ. Hallelujah. He said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, this scripture unveils that the making of Christ was a making of a life that lived by the faith of the Son of God. One of these things, he said, Christ liveth. So, you know, when they say this Christ liveth, it also makes you know that Christ is an economy. Different from Jesus, the Lord Jesus. There's a life, there's a living that is in Christ. There's a living that is in Christ. That when I say I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I am living. Because people, we were not born again to live like we like. You see, that's why there's some things that when people say, you know, those things is anti the claim of the Lord to say that you are of the Lord. He said, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, it means that this flesh, the life I am living as Modupe, I live by what? By faith. Off. That faith, off. Not in. You know, many of us, we have done well with faith in. We have had faith in his name. Jesus saved me. He has saved us.
Jesus, you know, but his faith, that is, there's a faith our Lord Jesus lived by. There's a faith that he lived by when he was exhibiting the life of Christ. They called him the faith of the Son of God. He said, I live by that faith. There's a faith he lived by. There's a faith, there was a faith that informed his living. There was a faith that informed his decision, informed his words. There was a faith that informed his movements. He said, who loved me and gave himself? You see, that faith, we cannot stumble on that faith. We only stumble on that faith when we begin to live. It's that faith that empowers to live. Because, you know, remember in Romans that we read, he said, an unveiling. He said, from faith. So one of the faith does is that faith causes us to live. Faith doesn't only cause us to have. Faith only doesn't cause things to happen to us, doors to open to us. Faith doesn't only give us results. The real faith is a faith that ties to living. God wants us to live. We can have faith in the Lord. We can have faith in various measure. But God wants us to use a faith. Because you see, the faith of our Lord Jesus was a faith that made him. It was a faith that made him become. Because people, our Lord Jesus may not have become Christ and the Son of God if he was not made by faith. You don't understand. Because he grew. Our Lord Jesus grew. He became what he became by a living. There's a faith in him that we ought to live by. He said, this is 2 Timothy 1:30. He said, hold fast the form of sound words that thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is where? In Christ Jesus. Oh, you see, are we beginning to excavate the treasures in Christ? These are the treasures. These are the treasures in Christ. Treasures that we find in Christ. That's supposed to inform living. Because people, let me tell us, I've heard Christians say that, assume that their life is their life. My life is my life. I only have this one life to live. It's not your life. From that scripture, they said the life that you live, you now live by what? Somebody wants it. Excuse me, you and I as a believer, we don't want anything. Redemption did not only, redemption was a purchase. You know, redemption means purchase. They bought everything. There's nothing we own. Our own prescription is to live. The mandate for every believer is to live. He said, you just shall live by faith. My life is my life. This life is my own. I can do things. I make my decision. You see, those words are anti-living. Those words are anti-Christ words. Those words, you know, my mind is my mind. You say think you are something. You don't know. You know, it's because you don't understand. You are dead in sin. Can a dead man own anything? You are dead in sin and trespass. A dead man is a dead man. A dead man is gone. It's nothing. You don't understand. Dead. Even, you know, when believers boast, say things like that, Satan himself laugh. Because Satan knows that, you don't know who owns you. He himself is making melody. Well, Jesus, you redeem and purchase this one. But they still have my things. You know, the right Satan still look around because he knows he still has his things. That, well, you have purchased them or you have bought them. But you see, the things are placed in them. Huh? And the antidote to take out the things he has placed is living. Is living. So when he tells us, you know, and I'm asking them, do you know there are lots of believers that are not living? Believers quicken, but they are just like Lazarus, that they have not removed their grave clothes. When you have been quickened and you are not living, you may die again. You may die again. When the only aspect that you say you are living is that you are breathing in oxygen. You are breathing in, but there's nothing living inside of you. You do not know that until living comes, that you have a tendency to go back to grave. You see, our Lord Jesus knew this and he said it. He said, as I say, my Father do, I do. That's living. He said, my Father's way, you will see the way. Jesus did not live his life as if he was in charge of his life. Even his words did not show, you know, that he was, he was, he did not show as if, he was not accountable to anyone. He lived a life, he was living a life of faith that acknowledged that, you see this life that he has, he was living in under the surveillance of the Father. He knew it so well. He knew it. You know, for instance, when believers live because people are watching them, it's because you are not yet mindful of the one that owns your life. Eye service is one of the things, you know, people who just live, when people are there, they do the right thing. You are not living. When people are watching you, you do the right thing. Some of us live for performance. We live so that, you know, they see us that you are a good Christian, a pious Christian. But yet, Jesus said inside them, they are dead men's sepulcher. So that, are we really crucified with Christ? I say some people, they came from that crucifixion. Wait, Jesus, please, permit me, I want to live my life. They come down from that crucifixion and they are living their life. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not what? You see that I is still living in some people. Yet not I. I'm challenging you. What is living inside of you? What's informing you? Is it I? Say, nevertheless, I. Nevertheless, I. But Christ what? Not I. Not yet not I. But Christ what? Liveth in me. Who is living inside of you? Who is living? And the life I live. So I want to ask you, and I ask myself, this life that I live in the flesh, how am I living it? Is it by him? Is it by faith of the Son of God? Is it by his faith? Is it by his prescription? Is it by the substance that he reveals to me? Is it by a hope? Is it by a hope? Or is it by evidence? Many of us, we live by evidence. We live by calculation, permutation and calculation. Many of us, our life is calculated out. Who told you? Let me tell you, Satan has his own faith, inverted faith, because many people live by that faith. What, for instance, what tells someone that when you grow up, when I'm now this, I go to school, I graduate. After I graduate, I work. After working, I now what? I marry. After marry, then I now give birth. After giving birth, I now, do you understand? I now is a life. It's a life that this world is prescribing. I say, I live by, there's a way we ought to live by. But many of us are living by something else. You say, I live by faith. So your admission has not gone through, you want to die. Your admission has not gone through, you go into cheating, exam malpractice, you buy results. You buy, you know, parents and everybody is just, because my son must go to school. Who told you? Who told you that your life is defined by schooling? Am I saying schooling is not correct? But why will you, because you want to live, you're not living by the faith that Jesus lived by. Jesus was a carpenter. You're not living by that faith. Then you live by life. I have not married at 30. You know why? You know, do you know why we now have problem? Why you now have anxiety? You have worry? Because what you are, you're a quickened spirit. They didn't quicken you to live like that. Why worry? Want to finish believers when the life by this world, the life by the adversary has prescribed, is because a quickened spirit was not designed to live like that. A quickened spirit was not designed. That is a living by this world. The quickened spirit does not live like that. They live by the lights under the sun. And you live by. He said, he gave us a faith to live by love. And what he gave, in actual fact, was himself. And I want us to ask that this issue of living, what are you living by? Who has prescribed the life that you are living by? Who prescribed it to you? Is it the prescription that you unveiled in the life that is in Christ? Because every life has its own prescription. Who gave you that prescription? Men are living life of flower. Men are living life of beasts. Life of flower. A man without understanding is like a beast in the field. Men are living beastly life. Because any life that faith of the Son does not prescribe to you is a life of the beast. Is a life of flower. Is a life that passes away. I'm saying that the life that we claim to custode in our spirit, a new birth, has a way to live. No wonder Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus is not just saying, he's telling you that you don't understand. When it comes to living, there is a way to live.
Yes, a way.
There's a truth. What is truth? Truth is you know, a tangibility in God. You know that the world gives us things. They say, this is real, my reality. Your reality is not truth. So there's a way to live. My brothers and sisters, there's a way to live. There's a way God wants me to live. In my estate as a woman, as a wife, as a mother, in every estate, there's a way. Let me tell you, you know, believers are also, they put their life in compartments. You know, and those compartments, it looks like the only life our Lord Jesus that can prescribe for is when you are in church. But when it comes to at home, at work, there's a way I live. You know, you don't understand that you were purchased. You know that you're a dead man that they purchased. The whole of you, who owns you? Spirit, soul, body, mind, everything. Oh, you're a fine boy, you're a fine girl, your biceps. It is owned by a Lord. You don't want nothing. You see all those wanting. Let it just wanting just stay in your. The real owners of yourself as a believer is our Lord Jesus. And there's a way he wants me. You see, to what you wear. He wants to prescribe how you wear. He wants to prescribe your week. Do you know why? Is it any time? You know why we go into loss? It's because we are not following the prescription of a life. Why things? See, what we wear, what I wear, where I live. He has a prescription for it. He said, the life I live in the flesh. That is everything I use this flesh for. He's interested in a life. He's interested that I will live that life and live it and flesh it in the days of my flesh. Because he has a way. There's a way. Please, can you tell yourself that there's a way to be yourself? There's a prescribed way of faith to be this faith. Many of us have never asked. Many of us, we are living a copied life. We are living like aliens in the world that we have been bettered into. So our Lord Jesus, in the days of his flesh, he lived a life called Christ. He lived an anointed life. He lived a life that was prophesied. You see, our life as a believer was prophesied. He lived a life that was a fragrance of one who was sent. Hallelujah. Amen. He lived a life of one who was sent. Amen?
Amen.
And he was revealed. Say revealed.
Revealed.
That life was revealed. Many of us, we have no patience to wait for faith to reveal a life to us. Let's read Colossians 3. Because, you see, the life of Christ is hidden. He said, if he then be risen with what? With who?
Christ.
So, what is that rising? It's a resurrection that happened in our spirit. Mm-hmm. It happened in our spirit. But that's a resurrection. Those who don't want to stay. Christ wants to be risen in our soul. A believer who is newly born again can never seek those things which are above. Kole seek here. That verse 3 says, for you are dead. For you are dead and your life is hid in where?
With Christ.
So it means in God. So it means that there's a life that me and you ought to live that is hidden. My sisters and brothers, there is a hidden life that is in Christ that must be unveiled for us to live. Oh, wake up, Christians, wake up. Christians, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up from living a life of folly. Wake up from living a life that is fallen. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Come to my life. Come to my life. Come to my life. You know, Satan did not only kill us. Satan gave us a life. Satan gave us a life. Satan gave us a life that is hid. Satan gave us a life that we live. Satan's life is not hidden. Satan's life is not hidden. His life is everywhere. Because why is this scripture saying that it's Eid? Because Satan did not only kill, Satan gave blindness. He gave blindness to be able to see the life that is hidden, that we might live it. There's an hidden life that is a call for every believer. Every believer has a call to live out the hidden life. And the only way we can come to that hidden life is through faith. So faith is the tool to pulling out the hidden. It's what pulls out a life that is hidden, so that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. There's a life that ought to appear. There's a life that we ought to appear in glory, in Christ. It's so sad how believers copy the fashion of the world. You know those things? Do you know, as bad as copying even styles, we need to be careful. How quick we see things and you just copy it. But we don't place premium. Do you know the reason? Many of us use that copied life to be wife, to be husband, to be single. It's just a copied life. It's a life. It's everywhere. Satan has it in Boku. We just copy it. Copy. We just copy and paste and begin to live it. No ability to use faith to fetch out the hidden life that is in Christ. Because people, we have an appearance to make in glory. You don't understand. He said, when you shall appear, there's a call of appearance to every believer.
Yeah.
You will not appear if Christ is not your life. There's a call to appear. But there's no appearance if Christ is not my life. How easy it is for me to see something. And honestly, look at it. Even from when our children are young, they will go to crèche. One child will be doing like this, askal, and they will get up. And the mommy will say this. Yeah. So you can see Satan's life is like sand. Everywhere you go. But the hidden life is not seen. Because you can't access the hidden life without faith. We see something, you just see one attitude, bad attitude, you copy. That's why, when believers, there's some believers, funny, I call them funny believers. So a brethren is doing wrong thing. Is that wrong one? They'll say, hey, Shebi, sister, Dupe is doing it. So why can't I do it? That thing, that thing. In fact, you should pull your lips and pinch yourself. And don't let them do it for you. Because you will say that because you don't understand the place of the hidden life.
Yeah.
That faith is supposed to excavate out. You see why we will not joke with faith? Because faith is a tool of excavation, of bringing the realm of the invisible to the visible. And that's why we move from faith to faith. A believer ought not to live alone in a faith that can give him things that are visible.
Yeah.
No, not that alone. A believer ought to use faith to fetch out. How is it that we are easy to copy, life, all manners of life that we copy? Those of us in the workplace. Copy. You copy the manual for your home, the manual for everything. But no manual of living. So we have a lot of zombies and vampires. Christian, living a life, inverted life. Inverted life. Men walking with their heads. Because the life that Christ unveiled and custodied, we have not been able to fetch it out through the gospel. Through the gospel. Because the gospel will bring a revelation, an unveiling of life. Because people, I'm leaving us with this thought today, that we will do a work with the Lord. We allow the Lord work in us. That we will first of all repent. That had there been copy and paste that we have copied and pasted, that we have not tally. Do you know, even as bad as things, some of us cannot even wait for the supply of the Spirit for things. What is pushing all this loan up? Do you know what is pushing loan up? Men cannot wait. Why are you collecting loan up? You have collected this. Why? Because that life is easy. You see, easy life, many times, Satan is there. You see, anything that just looks like, the way it comes, you are entitled to so loan, and you keep collecting, that life, you know, is a cheap life. Satan's life is so cheap. He has no preciousness to it. The place of waiting, you know, they say even faith in the Lord, not even faith of the Lord, faith in the Lord. A lot of us believers, we cannot even wait there to wait on him,
yes.
To wait on him for your supply. Even faith in the Lord, we cannot wait. We will quickly go, no nap, otigba, this one, that one. Even, let me tell you, it starts with borrowing credit.
Yes.
Borrowing data.
Yes. And data.
Borrowing. You know that quick, it's not a revealed life. You see, God is not cheap. Nothing about God is cheap. Nothing about his things are cheap. And excuse me, his purchase of me and you is not cheap. The blood of Jesus, of a sinless man, is not cheap. Satan has used good day. Is it what I can good day counterfeit products, spiritual product to get us? May God cause repentance to be in our hearts. Areas where we have lived life that is not the revealed life, the hidden life. May he begin to touch us in the name of Jesus. Until we meet again, God bless us. Amen.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.